Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text that I have chosen for this morning's sermon is the epistle, which was read a few minutes ago. The human experience is one of a roller coaster of emotions. There are highs of great hope and optimism, and there are times of lows and pessimism. The Titanic set sail as an unsinkable ship that would usher in a new era of transoceanic travel. 4 days later, as the great ship began to go down, Captain Smith and everyone else realized that the situation was hopeless. May 1940 found 350,000 British and French troops surrounded on the coast of France, with the German army sitting on all sides of them, with planes attacking the helpless men from above. Everything looked lost. Hope was lost. But then, over the course of 9 days, through the bravery of thousands of civilian and military men, 338,000 men were evacuated safely to Britain. And the rescue from Dunkirk was hailed as a turning point in the war, one that gave the British people hope. History is full of all sorts of events like this that were hopeless, or where it seemed that all hope was lost. In this way, history is a reflection of our lives, because there are times in our lives that everything seems hopeless. But the resurrection of Jesus means that you are never hopeless. Depending on who you are, or feeling hopeless or defeated might not be something you experience. One of my seminary classmates was this way. No matter what happened, even when both of their family cars were totaled in 1 week, Kirk never lost hope. He just wasn't the type, and his natural positive attitude, it affected everyone who met him. Most of us, and I do include myself, find that trying to maintain an unending stream of hope is exhausting, if not impossible. There are so many things that make us hopeless, or maybe that are currently making you hopeless. Illness, grief, money troubles, work headaches, age-related issues, marital strife, school problems, friend struggles, a sin you can't seem to shake. The list is as long as there are people in the world. And then, when one thing has sapped just about all your hope, something else comes along to finish you off. Oh, you're sick? Well, let's make the insurance company hard to work with. Your work stinks? How about an argument with your kid? You're lonely because your spouse has died? Well, how about some chronic pain to keep you company? All these things make us hopeless. Hopeless is kind of hard to define because it varies for people. It is self-defining. Hopelessness is a lack of hope. But it can also be a fog you can't escape, or a thick darkness, or an unbearable weight. Perhaps you have your own definition. No matter how you slice it, though, it's a miserable feeling. And if you're human, the odds are that somewhere along the line, hopelessness is going to darken your doorstep. The disciples are feeling this way. It's Easter. It's Easter evening. But the disciples, they are hopeless. The last 3 years had been pleasant. They had a teacher who loved them and protected them and taught them, who did incredible miracles. Now comes the news that not only is he dead, but his body is missing. They have no idea what the future holds. Probably just sadness and the way things were before they met Jesus. Back when life was just a series of days filled with work, frustrations, and loneliness, and yes, hopelessness. I have a feeling Mary Magdalene and the other women weren't feeling this way. They weren't hopeless anymore. But nobody else saw what they claimed to see, so they just sat under a dark cloud of discouragement and fear. What could possibly help? Suppose they could go back in time and see if they could change things. Maybe they could find out that it was a bad dream, or worse yet, some sort of sick practical joke. There was only one thing that would give them hope. There's only one thing that would help, and that was to see Jesus. And they did. Into that locked room came the resurrected Jesus, the Jesus who had died, the Jesus who had been buried. His body hadn't disappeared. It was alive. It was standing right there with them. And not only was he alive, he was speaking to them. Peace be with you. In other words, have hope once again. No longer would hopelessness define their lives, but it would be a living hope fueled by the risen Lord. Now they could rejoice. Now they could have hope. No matter what happened in the future, Jesus was alive, and that changed everything. We see this when they're arrested in our first reading from Acts. They don't know what's going to happen, but they know that no matter what it was, Jesus was alive. And that's all they needed to know. They faced every day after Easter with the same thing, a living hope. As you sit in your own hopelessness, or as you think about hopelessness that might come your way, would you believe me if I told you that it was the same thing that would give you hope? It's true. The hope you have in this life is the resurrection of Jesus. And because he lives, you are never hopeless. Peter puts it this way: according to God's great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This means that the hope God gave you in your baptism, the faith he gave you in your baptism, will not be destroyed. It will be battered at times, but it will persevere by God's power. This hope means that no matter what you go through, no matter what trials you endure, no matter what you're struggling with right now, the fact that Jesus is alive changes everything. You are secure in his arms. He is in your presence. You are in his presence because he is risen. St. Paul describes it. He says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Hope is this trusting in God above all things. And the wonderful blessing about this hope that God has given you is that it is not a self-reliant hope. You don't have to find the inner fortitude to have hope. You don't need to motivate yourself to have hope. Rather, as Peter says, by God's power, you are being guarded through faith. You have this hope because God has given it to you and He will sustain you. The promises of God, the resurrected Jesus and His presence, they're not based on the strength of your faith, but on God's love and mercy. He is the source of hope. He is the one who will see you all through all things, even the situations that seem where all hope is lost. It's been said that there are three kinds of Christians: those about to enter trials, those who are enduring trials, those who have just come out of them. Peter is honest here in our text. He says we are going to be tested by God. This isn't because he's mean or enjoys watching us squirm helplessly and hopelessly. Rather, his test refines our faith. Fire refines gold by removing the impurities. The testing we undergo removes the impurities of our faith. What this means is that our tests lead us to trust in God more, to rely on ourselves less. The testing turns us from the things that we think are going to give us hope to the giver of all hope. The testing is for our good. And when we know this, we can turn to Christ in hope, knowing that he is the one who will walk with us and lead us through the things which we are enduring. And the hope you can have in all this, the hope that you do have, is the assurance that while you cannot see that risen Christ, he is standing there with you. Thomas came back to a room full of excited, hopeful people, but he chose to remain in despair until he had proof that the risen Jesus was alive, that he was there. We are more blessed than Thomas because we believe even though we haven't seen. We won't see Jesus in this life, but we will see him where he reveals himself, in his Bible, in the Word of God, and in his sacraments. In these visible places, we see the invisible resurrected Jesus who gives us hope, who gives us peace, who gives us strength, who bears us up, who walks us through the dark cloud of hopelessness. He is the one who gives us the assurance that something better is waiting, the hope of eternal life. And this hope of eternal life is not something that is way off in the distant future. It's yours right now. The hope of eternal life means that God is with you, and he is your father, and you are his child, and nothing can change that. This hope means that no matter what you are enduring, No matter what sin you might be struggling with, He has forgiven you and He is present with you. And I'm not telling you to buck up that things are going to get better. They're not going to get better always the way we want. The hope you have, though, is that because God has raised Jesus from the dead, He will bring you through what appears to be a hopeless situation. Psalm 146 says, "Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them." God is the creator of all things. He has given you life, and He will sustain you. He will sustain you in your faith and in your hope. You have hope because the resurrected Jesus is with you, and the afflictions of this life are momentary afflictions that will disappear when you take possession of your eternal life. Jesus has conquered death. He has conquered the difficulties in your life. He has conquered hopelessness and despair as well. It is for this reason that even though we haven't seen Jesus, we love Him. And we know that He loves us. We are blessed with a hope that centers on Peter's words, where he says, "Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul." You, my brothers and sisters in Christ, are not hopeless because Jesus is alive. The risen Christ stands with you, and He is the one who gives you hope. So have hope because He is risen. Amen. Now, the peace which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.